Here we see in verse 30, this is a scary place. It's something that you don't want to be on for a longer period of time. As you see the road right here, this isn't the exact part from the story or parable that Jesus is given here, but this is just give you some clues on what it would look like. There, you can see the hill to the right and the valley to the left. You know that it's going to be dangerous. There's somebody that could be hiding anywhere that you're walking. And that's what these robbers are doing, and they attacked him. And continuing, now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So one big word I wanted to focus on right here was compassion. Compassion means with passion. But why was this word such a big deal? Well, if you go into the history of the Samaritans and Jews, Jews and Samaritans always didn't see eye to eye. To Jews, Samaritans were a mix between Israelites and the captives of Assyria, from what I found. And they were not a fan of that. They wanted everybody to be the Israelite, and then the Samaritans wanted to be their separate way. So everybody was butting heads. And we see this disliking in John 4, 7 through 9, with the woman at the well. And what she says is, a woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So it's very odd for the Samaritan to be able to help this person, especially whenever somebody like a priest or a Levite passes by. Why didn't they help him, but the Samaritan decided he wanted to help? Well, it goes on and keeps saying he bandaged his wounds. He let him ride his animal, and he gave him room in the inn for him to rest. So this morning, I wanted to bring up the idea of how can we be a good Samaritan? We need to not be afraid to help somebody that's struggling. Matthew 7, 21, 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then he will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" One thing that I got the opportunity to do this past week was sit down with Brother Allen and talk about this lesson and kind of go a little bit deeper into it. And one thing that I realized about being a good Samaritan is we can do all these works, and we can go and we can do community service. We can go take food to somebody, write them a card. But what good is that going to do in the eyes of the Lord if we don't add to that and help grow the kingdom of Christ? Why not, when you write that card, add a Bible verse in it? Or when you take that person meal, feel free to sit down with them and talk to them about the Bible. Maybe even whenever someone's struggling, listen to them and bring up Bible verses that can help them move forward in their faith and help them understand what they're struggling with. So, what's some things that we could help with, possibly? A broken down car, or someone needs help with a meal? That happens a lot, and that's something that we can continue to do. But let's find a way to do that with we're bringing up Jesus' name to help extend the kingdom of Christ. Participating in community service is a big thing. There's plenty of options over in Athens, and many things it's very good to get into, especially whenever you're able to talk to people and get people to sit down, because sometimes when that happens, you're able to make a friend. You're able to extend and make a friend to that person and talk to them and possibly even bring them to Christ. You never know who you're talking to or whenever somebody's watching. And just be a friend with somebody in need. Like I said earlier, somebody, whenever they need help, we need to be there to help them if they're our friend. That's the main thing. Don't push them away because you think it's going to be hard. Be there for them. And then wear Christ on your sleeves while doing these things. If you'll flip with me to Matthew 7. I said the wrong verse. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. And it says, "Then the king will say to those on the right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these brothers, you did it to me. So we see here that whenever we see somebody on the side of the road that's struggling or something like that, you never know who you're talking to. You never know who you're going to work through. You never know. That person could come to Christ because you decided to stop on the side of the road and help them. You could say even the shortest thing of God bless you or something like that. That could change somebody's heart completely and make them turn and come to Christ. So another thing that we could really focus on is how do we help somebody that's spiritually struggling? So we could sit down with them. If you'll flip with me to Acts 8, 26 through 40. Here we see a story of Philip and the eunuch. And I'm not going to go ahead and read the story because I've done a bunch of reading today. But in the short term, Philip decided that he was going to go and help this man that was struggling reading Isaiah. It was a tough passage. He didn't know how to read it. But Philip jumped off his chariot and jumped on that man's chariot and helped him understand what Isaiah was saying. And that man even decided to turn to Christ and be baptized on that exact same day. So in that case, he decided to listen. He listened to what the eunuch was saying and what he was struggling with. And that helped the eunuch more than him immediately just jumping in and talking. Because if he had jumped in and talked, there's no relationship there. He's not going to want to take that, right? So if you go to James 1:19, it says, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Here we see it does talk about being slow to speak. Let's let the other person talk a little bit more and be a friend to them. That way we hear what they're saying and we can help them with what they're struggling with. But also, let's not be weary to fall into that same temptation. Because when something like this arises, it's very easy to see what that person's struggling with, and it's very possible for you to fall into that same temptation the person's with. So stay close to your Bible and listen to that person and still continue to help them, but be wary in your own faith. And with that, I wanted to go ahead and tell you, I see a lot of the stuff y'all do through the church. So one thing I see is a lot of the individuals here will take food to those that are in need. They will go and help people. They will write cards to people. It's something that's very, very strong. And I understand that the Lord sees that. If you look through Galatians 6, 8 through 10, it says, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household faith. And within trying to talk to somebody, let's also be gentle. Because one thing that we see with a lot of people that are struggling is, if you immediately jump in and just give them fact after fact, they're not going to like that. They want you to be a friend. They want somebody that they can rely on and talk to. Because sometimes when you're struggling, all you need is a friend to talk to. So, what does the Bible say about gentleness? First, I wanted to start out with Luke 6:31. And that says, and as you wish the others would do to you, do so to them. We see that you're not going to jump in and just immediately just start like pounding the person with word after word, fact after fact. Because if you were struggling, you won't want the same thing done to you. You want somebody that you're able to talk to and somebody that you're able to rely on that will help you. Because sometimes we just need somebody that's willing to sit there and just listen to us. I've been there, especially with college. I've been there in many other aspects of my life where I just needed somebody to talk to because I've struggled. So next, I wanted to just continue into gentleness. And if someone's struggling, like I said, they don't want to hear fact after fact. They wanted a friend. Try to connect to them by doing something small for them. So while at college, I have a buddy. He isn't completely faithful yet, but we've been working together, and one thing that I've done for him was bring him a Bible. And one thing I've noticed with that is that Bible never leaves his side. Before, when I started talking to him, he didn't want, like, he didn't have a Bible on him or anything like that. He just read the Bible. He sometimes, the one that he had in his room, it wasn't that important to him. But now that I got him that Bible, he comes up to me and tells me all the time that he's been reading it, and he carries it with him to class. It stays on his nightstand. He does everything with that Bible. Something like that is something that we can connect a person. They know that I'm a friend, so they can come to me, and he has that Bible to rely on if something goes wrong, so we can talk to each other about things. You could possibly even write them a card or take them out to eat. That's just something small you could do for that person to let them know that you're there for them and to let them know and extend their friendship. And Galatians 6:1 is where I wanted to go next. And it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in transgression, you are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of gentleness, but keep watching yourself, lest you too be tempted." But finally, I want to go over, what does God think about someone who doesn't help? What does the Bible say about that? So if you flip me to 1 John 3:17, that's where... And it says, "But anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" And then Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use it will be measured back to you." We see here what God has commanded for us. God's commanding us to stay with the brother in need and keep the walk, because good measure will be passed down to us. But there's a story in Matthew 19, 16 through 22, about what would happen if we don't do any of those things. "And behold, a man came up to him and saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall keep your and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' And the young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept. What do I still lack?' And Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will treasure in heaven, and come follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession." Early on in the story, I need Bryson's help. I needed him to just come and give me a little generous help and jump out into that water and get that bait, in which he did. He had complete faith and did it, and look where we're at now. He's still alive. So let's do that for others and pick them up. With the new year coming, let's make a change tomorrow and start helping each other. I want to round out this talk by reading the verse from Isaiah 58, 10 through 11. And it says, "If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continuously and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be watered a garden like a spring of water whose water do not fail." So are we going to continue to be like the priest or the Levite and pass up a chance to go help somebody and bring them to Christ? Or are we going to be like the Good Samaritan and help them out and pick them up? So this morning, if you need help and you don't know where to go, or maybe if you're baptized, or if you're not baptized yet and you need to come forward and walk with Christ, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's divide. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my side. I will hasten, hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, Jesus, greatest I. what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather that you've blessed us with to come and worship you today. Thank you for the words that were spoken today. Help us to go and take them and focus on what we can do to help others. Thank you for this year, the blessings that you've given us, the lessons that you've taught us. Help us to reflect and focus this year on what we need to do to be lights in a dark world and serve you.